A 25-year-old South Dakotan woman was shot and killed on February 21st, 2024, in what news reports have called a public execution. Her story prior to her death had been one filled with unimaginable pain and overcoming the most harrowing of circumstances. This is a story of Esther Wolf.
Hey guys, this is Ash.
This is Shiashi.
And you're listening to We Are Resilient.
It's a lot shorter on there without Maggie in the intro.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know how I feel about it. If you're listening, Maggie is still with us. She's just not here for today's episode. Ash can tell you better than I can that we've been having so many issues with our recording equipment here lately. We've done lost episodes. We lost our last episode for We Are Resilient. We've lost two episodes for Skeely Queens. It's just been a battle. So we're a week behind and we're trying to get back on track.
Yeah, and it's just a busy time of the year.
It is.
I don't know if it's just spring. I don't know if it's the school year, but it's like our calendars and our free time just doesn't match up right now. And the time that we make, we really record these shows, put a lot of time into it, and then they're lost. They're gone.
Forever.
Never to be heard.
Never to be heard.
So in the meantime, until we get better equipment, we're back on Zoom. I am sitting in my closet. Ash, it looks like she's sitting in a hotel bathroom.
Yeah, we're on a basketball trip this weekend, so we do what we got to do. So I came across this, and it's a very recent story. And then hopefully we'll give updates as they come along. When I first started about, 3 weeks ago or so, when I researched and I wrote up the story, even going back a week later, there were some updates. And so they will be added at the end. But it's still fairly new, and there will be things that happen to come in the future. And as they do, we hope to do a follow-up episode, maybe a mini episode, or just give an update on a later podcast story, because this one is a very sad story, as all of them are. But knowing that the family is going through all the emotions and trying to navigate this world without their loved one as we speak is so heartbreaking. Today, I'm going to tell you about Esther Marie Wolf, an Oglala Sioux. Esther was born on May 30th, 1998 in Rapid City, South Dakota, to John A. Wolf and Eloris Rednest. She had a total of 11 siblings from what I had gathered, and she came from a big family with so many brothers and sisters, aunties, uncles, nieces and nephews that loved her. And reading social media posts about Esther, they spoke about how much she was loved, not only by her family and friends, but by everyone. And even through difficult times, she found reasons to smile and joke. She had a soft and caring heart for kids, especially her nieces and nephews. She was their biggest supporter, as all aunties are.
You know, we've mentioned this before, but it is always, always so, so hard to listen to how these really young, incredibly kind and family-oriented women have these tragic endings to their lives. And it's such a huge loss for the Indigenous community to be losing all these incredible women in such a violent way.
It's heartbreaking, and every one of these stories are, and it never gets easier to share them or to talk about them and share their stories, because they're all missed immensely. I'm not really sure where to start. She was murdered just a few weeks ago on February 21st, 2024, but I will start with her story and go back a couple years. If you start to get confused, just stop me and we'll kind of recap, okay?
Okay.
So let's go back to 2019. At that time, she was dating Michael Mayweather, and I couldn't find much information about their relationship, but what I did read is that tragically, he was found dead with a gunshot wound to his head outside of his home in North Rapid. No gun was found around him or any evidence. So initially, his death was investigated as a homicide. The police ultimately classified it as an unattended death investigation, but had trouble figuring out what exactly happened, and no charges were ever filed in Michael's death.
Hey Ash, what is an unattended death? What does that mean?
An unattended death is any death that is the result of an injury or illness that is not due to terminal illness.
So basically, if you pass away, but you're alone when it happens.
You're by yourself, from what I gathered, from what I understand. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
But in his case, he was found to have a gunshot wound to his head. So that's why they initially investigated it as a homicide.
I guess that's what I'm confused about. Because if there's a gunshot wound and it's classified as a homicide, then it's not unattended. Somebody was there, right?
Yeah. So let me get into it a little bit more. So according to news reports, the Rapid City Police Department released a report that 20-year-old Michael Mayweather was found deceased. Michael was found at 3 p.m. on 2/27/2019 of an obvious gunshot to the head, and he was declared dead on the scene. They determined the wound was not self-inflicted due to no weapon found around the scene. So they showed up and there was no gun. There's a gunshot wound, but there's no gun. So of course you're going to think there's foul play, right?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Additionally, the residence was known to police for drug activity. However, later authorities in their investigation discovered that an occupant of the residence had purposely discarded the firearm away from the shooting scene prior to the arrival of first responders. The firearm was found in a window well underneath a plastic window cover. The police also learned that the occupant of the home also attempted to hide drugs and paraphernalia in the house. Then an autopsy was performed on Michael Mayweather, and it aligns with the possibility that the gunshot wound was self-inflicted. But again, the ruling was an unattended death.
Well, this sounds confusing.
And I'm assuming that they're ruling it that because there was no, the gun wasn't there. But then they later found it, but it had been moved by someone else.
Well, that's weird.
So again, this was Esther's boyfriend. And this was a very difficult time for her. She just lost her boyfriend. And his family, Michael's family, was blaming and bullying her for his death.
Do we know why the family blamed her for his death?
I couldn't find anything about their relationship. Like if it was a good one, if it was a bad one, if there were issues, problems. I don't know. But it sounds like from the newspaper article that it was a drug. The house was known for drug activity. So I don't know if that had anything to do with their relationship. I'm not sure. So I don't want to speak to that because I don't know. I just know that the family believed she had something to do with his death.
Jeez, that's so sad.
They made jokes about her and they made jokes about her being kidnapped.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean kidnapped?
Yep, you heard right. So again, Michael's death was in February. And so let's fast forward a few months to July 14th, 2019. Esther was reported missing by a friend who hadn't seen her at work that day. And according to court documents, a guy named Jesse Sierra of Oglala went to Esther's work and convinced her to leave with him. I read that she was dating him and she no longer wanted a relationship with Jesse. But on July 13th, he convinced her to go to dinner with him. So I'm assuming he went to her work. You know, she's trying to break it off. So he went to her work and was like, no, let's just have dinner. Let's talk this out. You know how guys are.
Sounds like he's just doing all the wrong things.
Trying to keep her. Because she's a gorgeous girl. When you see pictures of her, I mean, she's gorgeous. Later that night, she got picked up by Jesse and his brother, Dustin Sierra. Now, Dustin was driving the car and they were headed to the Pine Ridge Reservation against Esther's will. Once she figured out what was going on, she tried to jump out of the car, but Jesse wrapped his arm around her neck and strangled her to the point of unconsciousness. Each time she gained consciousness, he would strangle her again.
Oh my God.
So between July 13th and July 17th, 2019, the brothers took her to numerous places on the Pine Ridge Reservation against her will. Jesse inflicted numerous physical and sexual assaults during this time while being kept in Dustin's home and in a camper on family property. Esther told investigators at one point Jesse asked her if she was ready to die before digging her a shallow grave and allegedly forcing her into it.
That is horrific.
On or around July 17th, Dustin drove Jesse and Esther to Chadron, Nebraska, and they hid her in a motel. On July 21st, Jesse dropped Esther off at a hospital in Chadron, and during this time, she was reported missing, and local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies were searching for her. And when she was dropped off at the hospital, she was reported to have broken bones and severe bruising on her face and body. So while at the hospital, she wanted to bring charges against these monsters. And she was able to. In October of 2022, Jesse Sierra, who was the boyfriend or ex-boyfriend, whatever, 37 at the time, was convicted of kidnapping. Two counts of aggravated sexual abuse by force, interstate domestic violence, assault resulting in serious bodily injury, and assault by strangulation of a dating partner following a five-day federal trial in Rapid City, South Dakota. The jury also convicted his brother Dustin Sierra, 38, also of Oglala, of kidnapping and interstate domestic violence. The charges carry a maximum penalty of life imprisonment and or a $250,000 fine and a $100 special assessment to the Federal Crime Victims Fund for each count of conviction. So let me just put this in perspective. Back in 2019, when this happened, she was around 21 and Jesse was 34. So he was much older than her.
Oh, that's much, much older.
Yeah. So all these horrible things happened to her and she managed to survive and get justice for what these monsters did to her. But as you can imagine, the mental health issues she had to face, the emotions and the fear, and as I stated before, the family of her boyfriend, Michael, were continuously harassing her over his death because they still blamed her for his death all these years later.
I mean, just the amount of trauma that she had been through.
I mean, it would be enough. It would be so much to handle just losing your boyfriend to a circumstance like that.
Right.
And then to be blamed for and to be harassed for and then to be kidnapped and sexually assaulted.
She survived so much at such a young age.
Yeah, so young. So now let's fast forward to this year, to February 21st, 2024. Esther was shot a little bit before 7 o'clock p.m. on the Pine Street and East North Street area of North Rapid City. She was taken to the hospital where she was pronounced dead. The shooter fled the scene and police were looking for him. And there's a picture and a video of a man fleeing the scene. Like I said earlier when I started this story, the man had not been located and the police were asking people to check their doorbell cameras for help in identifying this man. And they were able to help. And so I'll go over that in just a minute. So she was pretty much shot down at a gas station in public.
In public? That's so brazen.
Yeah. And get this. Get this. This is what's the craziest part of it all. On February 22nd, 2024, which would have been the next day after the shooting, Rapid City Police Department announced they arrested 23-year-old Ezekiel Mayweather for his alleged role as an accomplice.
Okay, so I'm hearing the name Mayweather, so I am assuming that's family.
Ezekiel Mayweather is Michael Mayweather's brother.
I knew it.
Yes, Esther's boyfriend. The criminal complaint holding him accuses him of aiding and abetting first-degree murder. They believe Ezekiel Mayweather drove the shooter to the crime scene. The state uncovered evidence that Mayweather blamed Esther for his brother's death in 2019 and that public execution of Wolf was meant as retaliation. And get this, it happened on Michael's birthday.
That can't be a mere coincidence.
So initially, a bond of just $50,000 was decided for Ezekiel. Just $50,000. That's it. Yes. But the family was outraged. And Pennington County State's Attorney Lori Rodzell urged in a bond hearing to revoke his bond, as Rodzell claimed that Mayweather not only planned Esther's murder, but he also provided the gun that was used, directed another individual to shoot Esther. So their plea and the family's outcry worked because the judge agreed and revoked the bond. It's unclear if the attorney will seek the death penalty as this is still ongoing. All these allegations and charges that I just read have not been taken to court yet, and he has not been found guilty. Of course, this will take time, and we hope to give an update on that. So back to the shooter. He was found days later after he fled the scene, and the police, like I said earlier, had asked community for help in identifying the man by checking their videos on their doorbells. They asked community members in the area in which he fled to check their home security cameras for help. It helped because Arcadius Wright Sr., who was 21, of Box Elder, was arrested for the first-degree murder of Esther Wolf. Prosecutors believe Ezekiel Mayweather orchestrated the crime and provided the gun that Arcadius Wright allegedly used to shoot Esther.
You know, at this point, I'm just glad they found the shooter.
It's just hard to read everything she's been through.
In such a short amount of time.
Esther, who by looking at these pictures of her, like I said, is a beautiful, beautiful young woman. And to survive the suicide of her boyfriend, being kidnapped, beaten, raped, being harassed, dealing with all that mental toll, and then to be taken in such a senseless way. Like, my heart breaks for this family. In a news interview, her sister Crystal Eagle Bull stated, and I quote, "My heart aches. I never felt a heartache like this." And then she went on to say, and I think this is a powerful quote that she said, quote, "Lies affect people and lies can hurt people. And so that's what this stems from. My sister's death stems from a lie. And that lie she is speaking of is that Esther was responsible for the death of one of the brothers of one of the men charged with killing her. And another quote by Eagle Bull. This is the type of coverage we need, because not only was she wrongfully murdered, but she's an indigenous woman, you know, and it's rare that any people get coverage.
That's true.
So as I stated before, this is still ongoing, as it just happened. And we will follow this story closely as we wait for justice for Esther Wolf. This never should have happened, and the trauma she faced and the trauma her family is currently going through is unimaginable.
She has just been through so much, just brutalized by these men.
And you know, I was watching like a video the other day, and it was this woman, and she was talking about how if a woman was in the woods by herself, would she be more scared of a man or a bear? Like if she was to come across something, would you rather come across a man in the woods or a bear in the woods? And I think my answer would be a bear. I would rather come across a bear. I think I would be more terrified of a man in the woods than a bear.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, bears are scary. They both be scary. I don't know. Like in the video, there are two bears in her sight, and they just left her alone. Like the one bear fell asleep, and the other bear like came towards her, and then he just turned around and walked away.
Yeah, I'd rather come face to face with a bear. It sounds ridiculous, but I understand what you're saying. All I know is Esther still deserves to be here.
Yes, and we'll be following this story closely because she deserves justice. She was able to get justice for herself when she survived the kidnapping and the assault. And, I mean, it's just tragic that this is something that she has, that her family has to fight for justice now for her. And we hope that she gets it and they get it.
Thank you for listening to We Are Resilient. For links to information found for this episode, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at We Are Resilient Podcast. Send us an email at weareresilientpod@gmail.com or visit us at www.war-podcast.com.